I don't know if you're somebody who makes New Year's resolutions or not. Some of you might groan as I say that. Some of you are like, man, I've been planning my New Year's resolution for 6 months. We got all different people in the room. I am not somebody who usually makes New Year's resolutions. I'll just be completely honest with you. I find actually that September is more of a reset for me, both having worked at church for a long time. A lot of our ministries kind of just the sea ebbs and flows. Things pick up. There's a new start in September. My wife's a teacher. My kids are in school. And so September just feels a little more like a reset for me, even than January does. But there's something about January, whether you are a New Year's resolutions person or not, that still, I think, makes us pause, at least for a moment. And it gives us an opportunity to look back and look forward. And so while I'm not going to dive into New Year's resolutions today, it's already January 4th. You might have already broken yours. But that's just between you and the Lord. But I do want to look back and look forward. Because 2025 was one for the history books. I wonder for you if it was a year that you're happy to close the book on and put on the shelf of the past, or whether you'd like the chance to rewind and play it all over again, live it through just one more time because it was that good of a year. The beauty of gathering as a local church is that we gather with people in front of us, behind us, either side of us, who have had a whole spectrum of experiences this past year and are filled with all different feelings and emotions as we look to this next year. For some people sitting beside you, 2025 was a year that can never be topped. For some, their families grew. I love the sounds of babies in our church services these days. As our congregation, as our family has grown through adding little ones. And it's been an awesome year for so many families. But there's also many of us who sit here recognizing that there is not somebody here because we've lost people in our church family. And that's the story of our church. There's the being born and the dying. But not only is that the story of our church, that is the story of life. There's the joy that comes with new life, and there's the sorrow that accompanies the loss of a loved one. But we're here today to praise God, to say thank you to God because He brought us through another year. My favorite psalm, and I know it's a favorite of many of you, Psalm 23 says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me." He's with us in it. He sees us through it. As we close the book on 2025, I think it's important to pause, reflect, seek some clarity of just how God has brought us through it so that we might treasure away these things in order to speak them to our future selves and others because the years keep coming. Now, I mentioned Psalm 23 is one of my favorite, but there's another psalm that I want to spend the bulk of our time in today, and it's Psalm 81. If you want to grab your Bible or your device or the Pew Bible in front of you, in the Pew Bibles, it is on page 409, Psalm 81. As I was thinking and praying about, man, what do I do with January 4th? Do I lean into the New Year's theme that's in culture? Where do I go with this? I came across a short message by a pastor named Louis Giglio that I've taken a little bit of and woven it into some of what I'm going to share today as I expanded that and studied. So Psalm 81. It's an awesome psalm that covers a lot of really the flow of what we've just journeyed through in the last 25, 30 minutes together in our service. There's a call to worship. There's a recounting of how God delivered his people, and here it talks about delivering out of Egypt. There's a back and forth conversational nature to it that is very common in the Psalms, and it's why I find myself turning to them often. A call to worship, a call to praise for all that God has done is where it starts. And so often we will do that in our services, don't we, where we invite you to stand and sing, but more than just singing, it's a reminder to orient ourselves on God, to remember why he is good, what he has done, and the reasons that we have to sing. We call this the call to worship. Listen to the words from Psalm 81, starting in verse 1. Sing for joy to God our strength. Shout aloud to the God of Jacob. Begin the music, strike the timbrel, play the melodious harp and lyre. Sound the ram's horn at the new moon when the moon is full on the day of our festival. This is a decree for Israel, an ordinance of the God of Jacob. While the language and the instruments may be unfamiliar, there is something incredibly familiar about what is being done here. This invitation to praise God and remember him for who he is and what he's done. It's joyful. It's loud. It's exuberant. It's fitting of a first Sunday of a new year. And it's fitting as well in its original context because it's believed this psalm was written for one of the great Jewish festivals. A festival where the Israelites would have recounted how God delivered them out of Egypt and rescued them from the depths of their sorrow, broke their chains of slavery. And as we keep reading, we find out that's exactly where the psalmist heads next. He hears a voice, and it's the voice of the Lord, we presume. In the latter part of verse 5, it says, I heard an unknown voice say, I removed the burden from their shoulders. Their hands were set free from the basket. In your distress, you called and I rescued you. I answered you out of a thundercloud. I tested you at the waters of Meribah. This image of captivity, sorrow, hardship, crying out for deliverance, it's so palpable here in these words. Listen again to it. I removed the burden from their shoulders. Their hands were set free from the basket. Think of all the work they were forced to do as slaves in Egypt. The load they carried, the tasks they were forced into. It continues, in your distress you called and I rescued you. I answered you out of a thundercloud. I tested you at the waters of Meribah. You called, I answered, says the Lord. And I did so in a mighty and powerful way. And then verse 8 says, hear me, my people, and I will warn you. If you would only listen to me, Israel, you shall have no foreign god among you. You shall not worship any god other than me. With all the tenderness of a loving father, God reminds them of the covenant relationship they are invited into. The rescuing act has been done. The Lord has moved, and now the Israelites are invited into relationship with the one true God. And then comes a promise from the Lord. I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of Egypt. Open wide your mouth, and I will fill it. Open wide your mouth and I will fill it. The invitation comes within the context of a battle for the hearts and minds of these people who saw God do an amazing thing, but then they quickly turned to some other idol, some lesser God. They turned away from the one true God who wants them to step into the freedom and deliverance that has been secured for them. We'll get led into this battle even more in the following verses, but it's enough to say for now that there is a choice to be made. There are decisions that need to be made surrounding how these people, how we, will live in light of the deliverance we have received. I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of Egypt. So the first invitation, I believe, in Psalm 81 for us this morning is to recall and consider, what has God brought you through? And because we sit on the first Sunday of a new year, I have to ask, in 2025, what has God brought you through? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. So what did the Lord deliver you from? What has he brought you through? Oh, that all of us would have the clarity to see and know what it is that God has delivered us from, where he walked with us, how he carried us in this past year. I hope everyone in here can remember the coldness and the weight and the darkness that accompanied the chains that once enslaved us, that have now been broken. That is our reality today. If you follow Jesus, that you have been set free. You have been called out. You have been delivered from much so that you might live into the fullness that God has for you. So would you consider how the Lord has brought you through? And if something doesn't immediately come to mind, then maybe the challenge for you this morning is to spend some time later today or maybe later this week reflecting on this year that you have just lived and how God brought you through and was with you in it. If you're a journaler or a writer or a poetic type, maybe for you, you could actually write your own Psalm 81. Recounting for a future you, for friends, for kids, for grandkids, how the Lord brought you through this past year. How beautiful would that be? And then there's a second invitation. It's right there at the end of verse 10. Open wide your mouth and I will fill it. Open. Open your heart, open your hands, open your life, open your eyes, and wait in eager watchfulness for what the Lord will fill it with. It's an interesting image to think of opening your mouth wide. How do we do that? It's to me a language of a posture that we take before God, but it's also a posture that we take as we live our lives and step into a new year. I wonder if you've ever looked at a picture of, or perhaps you've had the privilege of seeing a real bird's nest with baby birds in it, maybe one such as this. They're a little creepy looking. Kind of got their eyes closed, but they do one thing really, really well. Open wide their mouths. And you will hear them, especially if mama bird comes near with anything to eat. As if they are desperate, because they are. As if they are dependent, fully dependent, because they are. But they open their mouths wide as if to say, if you come anywhere near me with something good, I'm going to make sure I get my fill of it. Open wide your mouth, the Lord says, and I will fill it. I wonder if that's an image, these baby birds, an image of a posture for you, for our church as we step into 2026. The reality is our lives are going to get filled by something. Oh, it'll get filled with busyness. The days, the weeks will fly by, but it also gets filled with a whole lot of me. A whole lot of me trying to fill myself in my own power, with my own efforts, with my own ability. A whole lot of me thinking I can provide what I need. like I know what's best. And here God's saying that he can do so much more in our lives. He can do so much more for our lives. Remember, he is the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, your Egypt. Just imagine what he can do if we would just open wide our mouths. And his promise is that he will fill it not just a little, not just with the scraps, not just with the bare minimum to get by, but that he would fill it. So would you open up your faith? Open up your arms as wide as possible. Lift your eyes off your present circumstances so that you might see the Lord at work. Now the psalm takes a bit of a different turn at this point in verse 11. It's a little sobering, in fact, and maybe you've had a similar sense within yourself as you reflected on 2025 that maybe this is true of you. Would you listen to these words starting in verse 11? But my people would not listen to me. Israel would not submit to me. So I gave them over to their stubborn hearts to follow their own devices. If my people would only listen to me, if Israel would only follow my ways, how quickly I would subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their foes. It's hard to imagine seeing God rescue you from cold, hard, physical, literal chains of captivity, and then in the next moment, perhaps the next year, you could say as the calendar turns, you turn from that and try to fill your life with things that do not satisfy. We start out exuberantly praising the Lord, recounting and retelling of how he rescued us and delivered us and was with us through so much. But before too long, all too quickly, really, we go from this with open arms praising God to this with closed, clenched arms and fists. And we do this all the time, don't we, in our own lives? In the ebbs and flows, as things get easier or harder, we turn to our own abilities. We cling to things as if we have the power, we want the control. We praise God on Sunday, and then we step into our week stressing about how we're going to get everything done or how we're going to pay the bills. We say thank you for the deliverance, but then we lean on our own understanding, our own power to provide from there. When I look at my own life, I've been thinking about my desire to protect myself. Protect myself, protect my family. And this is how I live with closed hands. And I think it's because I don't want to get hurt. I don't really want someone else having power over me. And so I put up walls and layers, whether that be in relationships with other people or with God. I protect myself. Whether I recognize it or not, when I do this, I'm saying, God, I've got this from here. And God responds saying, I need you to open your whole self. To open your heart, your hands, your eyes, and watch, just watch, what I want to do in your life. Verse 16 has another imagery of the abundance that God has, that God desires to lavish on us. But you would be fed with the finest of wheat. With honey from the rock, I would satisfy you. Now, this psalm comes, as I already mentioned, at a festival to recount what the Lord has done in delivering and bringing his people out of captivity in Egypt. And, excuse me, the first thing there is just, I don't think we're that good at setting up monuments or rhythms of recounting what God has done in our lives and to pass that on to future generations. We need to do better at that, and it can start by reflecting on even just this recent past year. But this psalm comes at a festival recounting the people wandering, coming out of captivity and wandering in the desert. So it says these words, honey from the rock. Well, if you are familiar with the story as they were familiar with the story, you might recall something else coming out of a rock. Water in the desert. Dry mouths and fresh, clean, cool, crisp water coming out of a rock in their time of need. But here it's not just provision of the necessity of life, water, it's extra. It's to the excess. It's exceedingly and abundantly more than we could ask or imagine. It's honey from the rock. And it makes me wonder what honey from the rock the Lord wants to bring in your life this year. Could it be that you've been satisfied with just water when the Lord wants to give you honey from the rock? And I don't mean just a bigger bank account, though that may be part of it, but I wonder what more love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, what more life to the full God desires to bring in your life in 2026. Honey from the rock. And so as we gather here on the first Sunday of 2026, would you be captured by the invitation from a loving Heavenly Father who desires to fill you and your life with exceedingly and abundantly more than you could ask or imagine? Would you be compelled to live this year with open arms, open eyes, fists unclenched from your feeble attempts to provide for yourself? Would you lean fully into the Father who waits with eager anticipation to pour out on you what he has planned and desires for you this year? Would you not be satisfied with just a little or just the scraps? Whether that's in your relationship with God or in just the general living life and life to the full, would you desire more? More. Would you open wide your mouth so that he may fill it? It's a posture. It's a posture that God invites us, I believe, to live our lives on a daily basis. And perhaps for you, as you look back on 2025, you realize that it actually looks a whole lot like a lot of your own effort, a whole lot of your own struggle, a whole lot of your own control. Would you take that and open it with open hands before the Father, saying, God, I want something more in this year ahead. I want something more that lasts. I want something that will carry me, that will see me through, because I know that you see me through, God. That is his promise for us, that if we will open wide our mouths, he will fill it, that if we will turn to him, he will give us honey from the rock. Let's pray together. Lord, I know as I've sat in anticipation of this year ahead, I just want what you have for me and my family and our church family this year. God, help us to dream and have ambitions, yes, and to lay them at your feet and say, God, I want more of you and what you desire for my life, because what you have is best. God, this posture feels scary at times. It feels like giving up control. But we do so to the one who knows us better than we know ourselves, who loves us more than we could ever even love ourselves. We trust you, God. Help us to walk into that this year. In Jesus' name, amen.